Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jinabhutale Sayam Nupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapandantikam Manchakapaturu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vai Vyascha Patitanam Pavine Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. We're nearing the end of Canto 3 in the Bhagavatam and the end of Kapila Muni's teachings. These teachings of Kapila Muni, Kapila Dev, who is the Lord, describes many things. Describes the very makeup of the material world, and that if we divided the material world into its component parts and actually counted those parts, we would understand the source of the material world, which is ultimately the Lord, and how the living entities are injected within to the womb of the material nature, and how due to the living entities presence in the material nature and the presence of the time factor, the creation begins going from subtle to gross. So after describing this and describing the great entrapment of the soul within the material nature, Kapila Muni describes the process for extricating the soul from the material nature. And ultimately, after describing the process of yoga, which ends with the meditation of the living entity upon the Lord who is within everyone's heart, then he describes the ultimate practice, which is bhakti or devotional service. Actually, even prior to that, Kapila Muni has described this ultimate practice of devotional service, and he's described what the essence of that ultimate practice is. He's described how one has to, if one wants to succeed in devotional service, withdraw one's attachment to the material world and become attached ultimately to Krishna. This is the purpose of the different types of yoga, the different types of knowledge, jnana. This is the purpose of it all, is to somehow withdraw our attachment from matter, because we are stuck or trapped within the material world due to our attachment for matter. Attachment for matter means the desire to enjoy the material world. We view the material world, we deal with the material world as if it was meant for our pleasure. And we try to squeeze enjoyment from the material world, but to no avail. Because ultimately, in the ultimate sense, we will be kicked out of every enjoyable situation by the force of time. We will be kicked out. We will be kicked out by death. We will be kicked out from enjoyment by disease, by old age. So ultimately, we cannot. It is impossible for us to enjoy in the material world. Rather, the wages or the results of that tendency to enjoy in the material world is different varieties of suffering, unfortunate situations for the eternal soul. So Kapila Muni has explained that the eternal soul is placed within the material nature. He's placed within the material nature, but actually has nothing to do with the material nature. And due to his desire to enjoy the material nature, He is force, purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti janaya karanam guna sangasya sarasat joni janmasu. He's forced to take one body after the next, so much suffering. So therefore it is in his interest to change his mood from exploiter or enjoyer to become a servant of Krishna. So it can take one birth, it can take hundreds of births, it can never happen practically speaking. But this is what we are meant to do. So the process that Kapila Muni is taught to do this is first some jnana, which is basically Sankhya, the Sankhya Yoga that he's teaching. Jnana meaning to understand the fundamental principles of material nature and how the soul is different from material nature, and then to extricate the soul from the material nature through the process of yoga, Astanga Yoga, beginning with the Niyam Niyam, the rules and regulations, and then the yoga asanas, and then the pranayam, the breathing practices. And then the withdrawal of the control of the mind and the withdrawal of the mind from the sense objects, from the material world, giving up that spirit of enjoyment, withdrawal in that sense, and then ultimately focusing on the Lord, and then really the ultimate point, even stopping that type of yoga and engaging in bhakti or devotional service. So he's explained three processes. He's explained like jnana, or knowing the actual situation of the material world. He's explained yoga, and he's explained bhakti yoga. And then, in reply to Kapila Dev's, to Mother Devahuti's questions, Kapila Muni has described the force of time and how time acts within this material world, how it destroys. And he's explained the results of improper, unscriptural, whimsical attempts to enjoy oneself in this world. And he's explained the negative, horrible effects of those things. Such suffering at every stage. And then he's explained the different stages of someone's life after he goes through suffering, and then he's born again, and then grows up with envy crowding his heart, and then death again, and then growing up and death and birth, and in the womb the living entity prays. So he's explained all this, and then he's explained the different results that one can get through either karma or trying to enjoy in a pious way. And then he's explained the results of jnana and the results of detached work. And he's explained in the last verse that we read last week, that one should really engage in bhakti. Now, for much of the remaining part of this chapter 32, and perhaps we'll be able to complete this section today, he's going to explain further comparisons between bhakti, why bhakti is superior to any other process. Bhakti means to worship Krishna, to have one's mind focused on the Supreme Lord, to love Krishna, to serve him with great devotion. Not to be attached to the realm, the world of matter, but rather to be attached under the protection of the Supreme Lord of God, of Krishna in his personal form, and to serve him with great attachment, great devotion. So he's going to explain how if one just gives up the other practices and just takes to bhakti, everything will be achieved. So in one sense, he's superseding what he's already explained. He's explained jnana, he's explained yoga, And now he's going to explain that there's no need to separately practice those paths, because by bhakti, one will achieve the results of that path, and one will get the highest, ultimate result of pure love for Krishna and going back to the spiritual realm, the spiritual world, to be with Krishna eternally. So in text 22, after describing the differences, the different results, how the results of karma, jnana, and yoga are all temporary, even if the result of karma, to enjoy in this material world through pious means, even if it comes, it is temporary. And then jnana, or knowledge, temporary results. Yoga, realizing the Supersoul. And then bhakti, giving the ultimate result. So he explains, text 22, "My dear mother, I therefore advise that you take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for his lotus feet are worth worshipping. Accept this with all devotion and love, for thus you can be situated in transcendental devotional service." So Kapila Muni is advising his mother to take full shelter of Krishna with great, great devotion, because that is worthwhile. If we attempt by our own means or by any other practice to advance spiritually, because bhakti means to depend on Krishna, to serve Krishna and depend upon him. If we take to any other path, we are limited by our own abilities and disabilities. But if we give ourselves completely to Krishna and serve him, taking his complete protection, then practically speaking, we are limited by the unlimited Lord. So therefore, in the purport, Prabhupada explains, devotional service in full Krishna consciousness is the only means for attaining the highest perfection of life for the human being. This is recommended herein by Lord Kapila to his mother. Bhakti is therefore nirgun, free from all tinges of material qualities, because Krishna has no touch of matter about him. So similarly, to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, nothing material we can do will please him. This is the essence of the practice of bhakti. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam palam toyam yomam bhakta prayasati taraham bhakti paritam asnami paritatmana. That if we just offer Krishna a leaf, a flower, or some water, but with devotion, then Krishna asnami, he will accept that. He loves to accept it. Because it is not that Krishna is in need of water or fruit or flower or flowers or anything like that, but he wishes, he extracts the devotion from our offering to him. So this is the essence, that Krishna wants devotion from the living entity, and it is our interest, and in our own interest, to give devotion to Krishna. And that devotion is spiritual. So it is not that anything material satisfies Krishna or can be offered to Krishna, because Krishna is free from all matter, all tinges of matter. So although the discharge of devotional service appears to be like material activities, in other words, someone is making an offering of water or fruit or flower, it seems like they're material things that are being offered. But actually, it is never sagun. It is never contaminated by material qualities. So therefore the verse says, tad guna sraiya, means that the Lord's transcendental qualities are so sublime that there is no need to divert one's attention to any other activities. His behavior with the devotees is so exalted that a devotee need not try to divert his attention to any other worship. So here Prabhupada is explaining that there's no need actually to do anything take to any other practice except to worship Krishna with great devotion and to fully depend upon His mercy. It is said that the demonic Putana came to Krishna by poisoning him. But because Krishna was pleased to suck her breast, she put poison upon her breast. She was given the same position as his mother. So there's a famous verse that we actually read earlier in this canto when Uddhava was speaking. Ho pakyam stanakala kutam jighamsi ayara didyapi svadvi lebhegatim datri uchitam tatonyam kamva dayalam sharanam brajema. That when Putana, who was an evil person, a witch, she tried to kill Krishna by putting poison upon her breast. And she came to Krishna as if she was a nurse, a wet nurse, like a mother. But her intention was to kill him. But because she came to him and offered her breast, even though her mood was wrong, it was the worst type of mood, the most horrible type of mood, complete hypocrisy of the worst kind, trying to kill him. Still, there was something good in that, that she came to him as if she was a mother. So Krishna took that little teeny bit of good and gave her an exalted reward for coming to him. He killed her. But he rewarded her and made her a nurse in the spiritual world, a datri. So if Krishna... So this is our situation, so much like our situation. Because we have so many ideas in our mind when we come to Krishna. We want to offer things to Krishna, but yet we want something from Krishna. We want something. It places us in the mood of enjoyer, which is competition to Krishna. So in that sense, we too try to kill Krishna. We want to be the center, the enjoyer. We have that kind of envy in our heart. But yet, if we come to Krishna, trying our best to make offerings to him with devotion, he will accept that part of the offering. So therefore, Krishna's transcendental qualities of how kind he is, kamva dayalum sharanam brajema, how kind he is and merciful the Lord is, they are so sublime that there is no need to divert one's attention to any other activities. So one should not take to any other path or process. That's ultimately the point. Even though that Kapila Muni has explained so many other ways or so many other aspects, really, he really wants to point Devahuti and us as well only towards full surrender and devotion to Krishna. So Putana came to Krishna by poisoning him. But because Krishna was pleased to suck her breast, she was given the same position as his mother. Devotees pray, therefore, that if a demon who wanted to kill Krishna gets such an exalted position, why should they go to anyone other than Krishna for their worshipful attachment? There are two kinds of religious activities, one for material advancement and the other for spiritual advancement. Prabhupada explains, by taking shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna, in other words, giving ourselves fully to Krishna, one is endowed with both kinds of prosperity, material and spiritual. Why then should one go to any demigod? So these verses, 22 through 25, they describe how everything that one can get through another practice, another process, is achieved if one just gives oneself to Krishna in devotion. Engagement, this is text 23. Engagement in Krishna consciousness and application of devotional service unto Krishna make it possible to advance in knowledge and detachment as well as in self-realization. So this, if one takes to the process of jnana, one gets knowledge and one gets detachment from the world, but one doesn't get Krishna. One can attain so many things, but one cannot get Krishna through the process of knowledge. But if one takes to devotional service, one gets knowledge, detachment, and ultimately one also gets Krishna in the spiritual world. Here we'll read some of the purport to this verse. And this verse is almost exactly the same as the verse in the second chapter of the first canto. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Gyaniyat Yasu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayarahaitukam. Instead of Gyanam Chayarahaitukam, but Brahma Gyanam Yad Brahma Darshanam. That one gets knowledge and full self-realization as well. So Prabhupada explains in his purport. It is said by less intelligent men that bhakti yogi, yoga, or devotional service is meant for persons who are not advanced in transcendental knowledge and renunciation. But the fact is that if one engages in the devotional service of the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, he does not have to attempt separately to practice detachment or to wait for the awakening of transcendental knowledge. It is said that one who engages unflinchingly in the devotional service of the Lord actually has all the good qualities of the demigods develop in him automatically. One cannot discover how such good qualities develop in the body of a devotee, but actually it happens. There was one instance where a hunter was taking pleasure in killing animals, but after becoming a devotee, he was not even prepared to kill an ant. Such is the quality of a devotee. So all happens, all purification and all benefit occurs if we can actually become a devotee. Knowledge, detachment, all good qualities, yes, yes, bhakti, bhagavati, kinsana. So again, these verses are describing, up till 25, describe how that which is achieved by other paths is achieved automatically when one takes to bhakti. The exalted devotee's mind, this is text 24, becomes equipoised in sensory activities, and he is transcendental to that which is agreeable and not agreeable. Because this is having to do with jnana especially, the detachment of someone who practices yoga or jnana yoga is that he understands that he is not the body. And therefore, he's practiced in withdrawing his consciousness and his attachments and aversion from bodily likes and dislikes. He becomes completely neutral. So he can go in cold, extreme cold, completely neutral, or heat, or they practice sometimes, the yogis will practice in the winter going in very, very cold water and not allowing it to disturb them. They have such detachment and control over their mind. Or sometimes in the summer they'll surround themselves by hot fires and not allow anything to disturb them. So the devotee's mind becomes similarly equipoised in sensory activities, and he's transcendental to that which is agreeable and not agreeable. He does not attach to that. Because the devotee is achieving happiness on a completely different level. Because of the taste that he is achieving, his life on the spiritual platform is so sweet that minimizes the effects of the happinesses and pleasures and miseries of this material world. Just like if there's a small, in our backyard, maybe we have a big pile of sand or something like that. So if we're in that, in the backyard, and we're looking around it on that level, it's maybe very noticeable. And we may be thinking, oh, We may be thinking it's giving me great pleasure, the sand is there, if I'm a little child so I can play in it. Or if I'm the gardener, I'm thinking, boy, this is really getting in the way. But if we're miles high in a plane, so far above that sand, practically we don't see it. We may pass right over it, but we don't see it. It neither brings us pleasure nor misery, because it's so inconsequential. So similarly, when we are situated on the spiritual platform, the happinesses and distresses of this material world, which basically have to do with the body and the mind, they seem so insignificant to us. Why? Again, because of the height of one's consciousness. Or another way to look at it is the sweetness that one is experiencing from his relationship with Krishna. It is like being a billionaire. If one has $1 billion, what does he care if he wins 50 cents, he wins the lottery and he wins a dollar, or he loses a dollar slips out of his pocket? Really, what does he care? It's not even worth a second of his thought. So similarly, if one is situated high in Krishna consciousness, then the material world, he's neutral, completely equiposed. If someone walks over to him and says, here, you can have the most wonderful thing in the material world, the greatest job, the most success, the biggest house, it is like offering the billionaire a dollar or 50 cents or 10 cents. Because he has his relationship with Krishna is giving him true, sweet life. So therefore he's transcendental beyond that which is agreeable and not agreeable. And because of his transcendental intelligence, this is text 25, the pure devotee is equipoised in his vision and sees himself to be uncontaminated by matter. He sees himself as not the body. So so much of our problems and so much of our thoughts revolve, so much of what we are attracted to and so much of what we are repulsed by, so much of what brings us happiness and so much of what brings us misery, all have to do with the body. But the soul, but the great devotee, the pure devotee, he sees himself as having nothing to do with his body. Not theoretically or intellectually, he's actually experiencing himself on the spiritual platform in his relationship with Krishna. So this is what the jnanis achieve in a lesser fashion, because they see themselves as souls, but they don't see themselves in their relationship with Krishna, their eternal relationship with Krishna. So again, Kapila Muni is describing here how all that is accomplished through other paths are automatically achieved through bhakti. So because of his transcendental intelligence, the pure devotee is equipoised in his vision, and he sees himself to be uncontaminated by matter. He doesn't see anything as superior or inferior, and he feels himself elevated to the transcendental platform of being equal in qualities with the Supreme Person. So he serves Krishna. Text 26. The Supreme Person, again, showing all these verses will be all comparative verses between bhakti and other paths. The Supreme Personality of Godhead alone is complete transcendental knowledge. So here's the goal. When one has knowledge, but his knowledge stops short of knowing about the ultimate feature of the Supreme Lord, then his knowledge is incomplete, just like there is the Prime Minister. So we may know him in relationship to his position. He did this, he did that, he did this, he did that. But our knowledge stops short of him. We don't know him completely if we don't know his personality and his nature, as maybe his family members know him. So we can't really say we know him until we know him in that intimate way. So similarly, the Supreme Personality of God alone is complete transcendental knowledge. So knowledge about Him, who He is, who that Supreme is. We think of the Supreme or God or Lord, but until we know Krishna, the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, and carries on incredible pastimes with His devotees, until we know that, our knowledge is incomplete. So he knows that he, the devotee, knows that that Lord is the completion of transcendental knowledge, and that he's realized differently according to different processes of understanding. So he appears differently according to the different processes of understanding, either as impersonal Brahman, as Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or as the Purusha avatars. So it is only Krishna who is the object of realization. Regardless of what path one is on, it is Krishna who is realized, but the realization of Krishna will be either full or partial depending upon the path that one takes to realize. So Prabhupada gives in his purport, he gives an example, just like if we see a hill. If we see that hill from a distance, a far distance, we may think it's a cloud. It's a hill, but we may see it as a cloud only. Did you ever have that experience of looking? You see that with the hills actually over there in the east. Sometimes you think they're clouds, and sometimes you think the clouds are the hills, or sometimes you think that the hills are the ocean. At least I do sometimes. I get quite confused. So, from a distance, one sees the form of it and thinks it's one thing or another. We don't really see we see something vague. So similarly, from a distant realization with a little knowledge, we think God is vague, or everything, or one. So He is that, but it's a vague understanding. So that distant form are the hills, but it's mistaken to be something else, more or less. It's a vague understanding. And then as one gets closer, one gets to see the clear form of the hills. So the distant understanding is the process of jnana, or knowledge, where one understands the impersonal. When one gets closer and understands, yes, it has form, the hills actually have specific form, that is what the yogis achieve when they understand the Lord in the heart, the Paramatma, and how Krishna is everywhere. Mama tejo angsa sambhava. And ultimately, the devotees who practice bhakti, who love Krishna with devotion, by His mercy, they understand the hill in great depth. They understand the vegetation that's there, the houses, the people that live there, etc., and what the people are doing, the pastimes. So similarly, by practice of devotional service, one understands that Lord in the greatest depth, Bhagavan realization, or understand the person who is God. The greatest common understanding, this is 27, for all yogis is complete detachment from matter, which can be achieved by different kinds of yoga. Those who are averse to the transcendence realize the Supreme Absolute Truth differently through speculative sense perception, and therefore, because of mistaken speculation, everything appears to be relative. So again, the same point, that one's view, even of matter, is different depending upon the path that one's on, and even the view of Krishna, of the Absolute. 29. From the total energy, the Mahatattva, I have manifested the false ego, the three modes of material nature. So this is a summary, really, of the chapter, the fundamental principles of material existence. What chapter is that? 20 fundamental principles. No. Chapter 26. So this is really the essence of that chapter, which described in great details the creation. It broke the material creation down into the elements, into its fundamental principles. So what are we really supposed to learn from that? There are two points, really. And here is the prime point. From the total energy, the Mahatattva, I, that is the prime point, I, the Lord, Kapiladeva, Krishna, have manifested the false ego, the three modes of material nature, the five material elements, the individual consciousness, the 11 senses, and the material body. Similarly, the entire universe has come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So everything that we see, all matter, comes into its existence from Krishna. So he is the sarva karana karanam. He is the cause of all causes. He's the source of everything. And we are of him. We are not part of the material world. We as souls are of him. But we are given material consciousness and a material body and a material mind, material chitta consciousness, material mind, material body, by the material energy. But we don't belong to that energy. Vishnu Shakti Paraprabhu Chaitra Gyakya Tatapara. We are the spiritual energy. We are part of Krishna. Eternally, individuals. And we don't belong to the material energy. So that is the essence of that chapter. The whole technical chapter of the creation is meant to leave us with this point. And then what remains to know is the process of getting out, of disentangling ourselves. And that, if you remember, that was Devahuti's question. Practically speaking, she said, we've been in contact with the material world for so long, and when I view my consciousness, there only seems to be material things. So if I remove matter from my consciousness, practically, is there anything left? And actually there is. And that is devotion, loving devotion to Krishna. And that is achieved. The goal is pure devotion, and the process to achieve it is pure devotion. Text 30. This perfect knowledge of Krishna's relationship to the world of matter can be achieved by a person who is already engaged in devotional service. So this is how to get that knowledge. This is what remains to be known. There are actually three stages of knowledge. Sambandha Gyan, Abhidheya Gyan, and Prayojana. So the first stage is about our relationship with Krishna, our relationship to matter. So that basically was given in that verse, that everything is coming from Krishna. But we, who also come from Krishna, are a different energy. We are spiritual. While the material energy is temporary, always changing. And we are eternal, and we are entangled in that. Why? Due to our foolish, time-proven wrong desire to exploit and enjoy envy of Krishna. So that is sambandha jnana, our relationship with everything, especially Krishna, or everything's relationship with Krishna. And then next is abhidheya, or the process of getting out. And that process, this perfect knowledge, or sambandha jnana, can be achieved by a person who is already engaged in devotional service with faith. So if we engage in devotional service, bhaktya, etad vai shraddhaya bhaktya, with great faith. So this can be achieved, this detachment can be achieved by a person who is always engaged, already engaged in devotional service with faith, steadiness. That means he's been purified already, because without being purified of raja, tama, passion, ignorance, we cannot be steady. We'll be up and down and round and round. So with faith, steadiness, and full detachment, and that's on the faith in Krishna, steadiness and detachment from matter, and on the positive side, especially the positive side, and who's always absorbed in thought of the Supreme. So this is a basic and simple but yet complete explanation of what Abhideya is, or the process of devotional service. Is engage in devotional service steadily with full faith. Faith in what? Faith that Krishna is Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan. Krishna is everything. My life, the essence of my life, is the source of everything for me. So to be always absorbed in thought of Krishna. And such a person is aloof. Viraktya parishpashyati. By this he's completely nisanga. He's aloof from material association. Even though he may be in the material world, superficially he'll be aloof from the material world because of his knowledge and because of his devotion. So he won't really be in the material world. And that is the situation of a pure devotee. He seems superficially to be in the material world, but actually the material energy doesn't touch him. It can't touch him. He's riding far above it. He's not affected by it. He's high in the sky, in the plane, and the material energy is so far below. So this is wonderful. This is wonderful. He's in the world, but not touched by it. He's living in his relationship with Krishna and experiencing that, and that is his life. That is the real life of his life. He's aloof from the material association, although externally he may appear to be walking and talking and buying and running here and there and doing this and that, anything practically. So, again, this chapter, because he's explained in the beginning, Kapila Muni explained about devotional service, how and what the essence of that was, and what the actual essence of that path was, to take one's attachment away from matter and place that attachment, through attachment to the devotees, through the attachment to hearing about Krishna, place that attachment upon Krishna. Because the consciousness needs attachment. It is not possible to be unattached in this world. It is not possible, practically speaking. So that attachment, that's part of the consciousness, has to be placed upon Krishna. So she's explained the essence, and then he's explained Gyan, the process, the knowledge, the fundamental principles of material nature, how creation works. Then he's explained the process of yoga. And then he's explained fruit of activities and what happens when we don't act properly, and how to get entangled in the material world. But what he really wants to explain is to push us just to this point of pure devotion. My dear mother. So he's explaining this in this chapter, the comparative realizations of jnana and karma, etc., and yoga, just to get us to the point that we understand that everything will be taken care of if we just give ourselves completely to Krishna with great, great attachment. And until we have attachment to Krishna, we cannot give ourselves fully to Him. And until we have detachment from matter, we cannot actually have attachment from Krishna. So it's a gradual process of purification. Purification and the Shreya Karayava Chandrika Vitaranam, the gradual blossoming of the white lotus of our spiritual life as the heart is cleansed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given two nice examples there to explain both sides. On one side there is Chaito Darpana Marjanam. When the heart is cleaned, what happened by chanting Hare Krishna? It's like the mirror being cleaned. When you look in a mirror that has this much thick dust on it, what do you see when you look in it? Nothing. You just see dust. But as it's cleaned, gradually one sees oneself. One can actually see oneself as it's cleaned gradually. So chanting Hare Krishna cleanses the mirror of the consciousness so one can see oneself. And then simultaneously, as one seeing oneself, chanting Hare Krishna is the moonlight that waters, that shines upon the white lotus of our spiritual life and causes it to blossom. So at the same time, gradually, as the dust is being cleansed from the heart, our identity is blossoming in relationship to Krishna. So my dear respectful mother, Kapila Muni continues in text 31, I have already described the path of understanding the absolute truth by which one can come to understand the real truth of matter and spirit and their relationship. Philosophical research in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After achieving this understanding, when one understands one's relationship with Krishna, one becomes free from the material modes of nature, the binding of the material world. He attains then the stage of devotional service. Either by devotional service directly or by philosophical research, one has to find the same destination, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here Kapila Muni is directly saying that if we take to the process of jnana, which is so difficult, or if we take to the process of yoga even, he doesn't mention that, the goal, the ultimate goal, is still the very same thing, and that's Krishna. So therefore, really, he's saying, take directly to devotion. A single object is appreciated differently by different senses due to its having different qualities. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, but according to different scriptural injunctions, he appears to be different. So, interesting example. A single object. What's an example of a single object? Just anything. If we, this wood, and Prabhupada in his purport will give the example of milk. It's appreciated differently by different senses due to its having different qualities. So what does that mean? Milk. When we see milk, we see it as white. So is milk white? Well, it's white when you're appreciating it through the eyes. But when you're appreciating, when you're trying to experience what milk is through the tongue, it's not white. So when we taste it, it appears milk is very palatable. And when there's sugar in it, it's very, very sweet. So someone says, no, milk is white. No, milk is sweet. No, milk is hot. Milk is liquid. And arguing like that. But it's the same object. When we touch milk, it appears very cold or hot, depending upon if it's hot or cold. When we smell milk, it appears to have a very good fragrance, flavor. And when we hear, we understand that it is called, we hear the name of it, we understand that it is called milk. Receiving milk with different senses, we say that it is something white, something very delicious, something very aromatic, and so on. Actually, it is milk. Similarly, those who are trying to find the Supreme Godhead by mental speculation may approach the bodily effulgence or the impersonal Brahman. And those who are trying to find the Supreme Godhead by yoga practice may find him as the localized supersoul who's in everyone's heart, in every atom, between every atom, he's everywhere. But those who are directly trying to approach the Supreme Truth by practice of bhakti yoga can see him face to face as the Supreme Person. And moving to conclusion of this. So all the practices, again, now moving it to the point, not only, so before the emphasis, the verses Kapila Muni was emphasizing more that whatever one is meant can achieve through other practices, one achieves those through bhakti, one achieves those results as well through bhakti, plus one achieves Krishna. Krishna's service. And here, he's explaining that all the different practices, spiritual practices, they're all meant only to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this verse is, we'll read it, it's actually 34, 35, 36. By performing fruitive activities and sacrifices, by distributing charity, by performing austerities, by studying various literatures, by conducting philosophical research, by controlling the mind, by subduing the senses, by accepting the renounced order of life, and by performing the prescribed duties of one social order, by performing the different divisions of yoga practice, by performing devotional service, and by exhibiting the processes of devotional service containing the symptoms of both attachment and detachment, by understanding the science of self-realization, and by developing a strong sense of detachment. All those practices. One who is expert in understanding the different processes of self-realization realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is represented in the material world as well as in transcendence. So this is the goal, to see how Krishna is in the material world, in everything, as the super soul, as his energy, and yet he is in transcendence, beyond. He is immanent and transcendent, both. He is here, everywhere, but yet he is beyond as well. So how is Krishna everywhere? He said, he's everywhere, as this is his energy. Everything is his energy. The air, which we can't see, our minds are his energy. And he's everywhere as the super soul. But yet, he is also in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. And that is the real, the ultimate place where we are meant to be with Krishna for eternal existence. So there's one little point that I'll mention, that it describes that the purpose of exhibiting the process of devotional service, which contains both the symptoms of attachment and detachment. So devotional service contains both attachment and detachment. So we should be detached from certain things and attached to other things. We should be attached to those things that will elevate our consciousness, and detached for those things that will degrade our consciousness and not bring us closer to spiritual life. So attachment and detachment must be there. And then, just a few more verses. So now Kapila Dev is really coming to the conclusion. This is 37, and then he summarizes the last two chapters in 38. So 37, which is the conclusion of all these different processes. I've explained to you, my dear mother, pravocham bhakti yogasya. I've explained to you the process of devotional service and its identity in four different divisions. Divisions is actually chatur vidha. The four divisions of devotional service, so that was explained in a previous chapter. Devotional service and goodness, passion, and then transcendence. So I have explained to you the process of devotional service, its an identity in four different divisions. I've explained to you as well how eternal time is chasing the living entities, although it is imperceptible to them. So he's explained devotional service and time, the force of time. And then in 38, there are varieties of material existence for the living entities according to the work he performs in ignorance or forgetfulness of his real identity. My dear mother, if anyone enters that forgetfulness, he is unable to understand where his movements will end. So we heard horrifying chapter after horrifying chapter of what happens to the living entities who enter into ignorance and engage in material life and sinful. Oh, so much suffering, so much suffering. And it's avoided if one escapes material time through the process of devotional service. Pure devotional service, ultimately. Okay, so tomorrow, as Krishna knows, we'll finish the chapter and then go on to the final chapter. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Kapila Muni ki jai, Devahuti ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitaya ki jai.